وعلى محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise to you, to Allah. Okay, but my voice is a sound, that is my voice. I apologize for being late. There was a car problem on the road, but I'm glad to see many faces here, alhamdulillah, starting our Tawheed lecture. And as you see here, we could see four sessions, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to try this gathering together for a couple of weeks and see whether there is a real difference in terms of degree of knowledge about this subject, so that we go ahead and either keep it together or otherwise decide to split them into two parts. I want you to really give me your hearts and minds, because if we have to continue in this gathering as one unit like this, I would assume that we know nothing about the Tawheed. Why don't we assume that? Meaning, know the real aspect of the Tawheed. Certainly many of you are new Muslims, and some of you, alhamdulillah, have been for a while in their belief and their faith. Many of you have declared, or all of you I'm sure, have declared their acceptance that there is no God who deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And they have also declared their acceptance that there is no messenger after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he, Muhammad, explained, given from Allah what to explain. He explained to the believers and those who would come after him the real meaning of the Quran, the understanding of the Quran, and his teachings also were inspired from Allah. That's what it means, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's what it means, Muhammad Rasulullah. But yesterday, I was surprised when someone came and I was told he accepted Islam. And I asked him a question after he accepted Islam. I said, what is Jesus to you? He happened to be a Roman Catholic person, or was. You could tell that his brother was really interested in Islam. But the question, when it was raised, what do you think about Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him, he said, he is my true salvation. Jesus is my true salvation, and that Jesus is my way of life. So apparently, he got perhaps in one way or another, he got a mixed signal. He got a mixed signal. Meaning that, okay, I can accept God, Allah, as the true God to be worshipped alone, but I could consider also Jesus as a savior. This is the mixed thing that he got in his mind. And I am beginning to notice this on some records that were given to me by some of our active brothers here in Da'wah, that this may be the case with many who have accepted Islam. And if we think about this, this means we have to magnify our efforts in terms of explaining what we are telling these people. We have to be able to convince them that our love for Jesus does not mean that we follow Jesus. The time of Jesus, peace be upon him, the message that he had delivered was limited to the children of Israel. And what he had taught them is to worship God, Allah alone. But he had informed them also that they would come after him another messenger. Regardless of the changes in the Bible that had occurred, this messenger's name is Muhammad, peace be upon him. And that the message of Muhammad abrogates all the laws before, but the essence of it is the same, because it still calls the people to worship Allah alone. But the unity, the distinction, and the major distinction here is that the message of Muhammad Rasulullah is universal for all mankind. We can love Jesus, we can love Muhammad, we can love Moses, we can love Abraham. All the messengers of Allah are true, but we don't worship them. We don't worship them. Islam is the way of salvation. By worshipping Allah alone and taking the teachings of His last messenger, which He, Allah, had chosen, then we could be saved from the fire of hell. May Allah save us also. So this really drives us to more and more put more effort as members of the Islamic community here, to put more effort together in understanding this declaration of acceptance of Allah and His Messenger. When we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, it has its own tradition. What does it mean first? La ilaha illallah, as we explained, I want to explain this more and more. La ilaha illallah, there is no God that deserves to, you have to underline this word deserve million and million times, trillion and trillion times. Undermine it, who deserves. Why? Because people say that there are gods that they worship, but the attributes of these gods are not perfect, and as a result they do not deserve to be worshipped. Only the true God with perfect attributes who deserves to be worshipped, and that is Allah. Allah means is the true and only God who deserves to be worshipped. Even His name, the root of His name means something. And He had chosen this name for Himself. No one else had chosen the name for God to be Allah except Allah Himself. And He had chosen this faith of Islam, submission to Him in will, to be the faith accepted. So what are the conditions? He deserves to be worshipped alone. Part of being worshipped alone means to be obeyed. And part of that, we know that He had chosen a messenger to explain to us every detail about our faith, so we accept this messenger and we follow him, but we don't worship him. We don't go to the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be the mercy of Allah and His peace be upon him. We don't go to his grave and bow and ask him for help or intercession or being a mediator or that stuff. No. Any Muslim who will do that is contradicting his acceptance of Allah as being the true God who deserves to be worshipped alone. What is the first condition of La ilaha illallah? I have to go over those again very quickly because we did discuss some of it last time. But number one is a revision, is the knowledge, al-ilmu al-munafi lil-jahl, knowledge which contradicts and overrides ignorance. What is the evidence from the Quran? Allah said in the Quran, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know that there is no God or none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. This is in the Quran in Surah 47, Ayah 19. So the knowledge of whom we are worshipping is essential. The knowledge about the nature and concept and the methods of worship is very critical so that we practice our Islam in the right way. If you see a Muslim in the mosque praying in a certain way which does not fulfill this aspect of knowledge, meaning we know we have been ordered to worship Allah in part by prayer, so don't you think that Allah has prescribed how to pray? Certainly. Because He is all wise, all just, all merciful. He wants you to worship Him, and He had explained the way in which you should worship Him. And that's the way in which Muhammad, peace be upon him, had explained, based on inspiration from Allah, saying, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you have seen me pray. So the knowledge about how to pray is essential. Because if one wants to get the acceptance from Allah and His pleasure, he has to do this act of worship based on knowledge. Not just a blind imitation to someone. Certainly in your early time of being Muslim, you are required to imitate for a while and to follow a brother next to you who is knowledgeable in the way to pray. This is required so that you get used to start. This is the first step of knowledge. That does not mean the Muslim should stay imitating. No, because in the meanwhile, he will be learning. What did my brother say? I want to say the same things that are accepted by Allah. So I want to learn. That's why these books are available. That's why some of our brothers who are attending here are available to assist you. To assist you in this knowledge. They themselves are learning. And they are open to learn. I just stopped by one office upstairs and I said we have a lecture around Tawheed. Many of them just now, they want to come and learn. And this is the attitude of the Muslim, how it should be. And we all are learning. And we have to learn this aspect of Tawheed, which is the savior from the fire of hell. Knowledge, therefore. Knowledge that overrides ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us another condition for this. And the Muslim himself has to be aware of these conditions and try to remember them. The second aspect is satisfaction. What does this mean? Satisfaction that negates suspicion. That means suspicion should not exist about your declaration of your acceptance of Allah. There should not be hesitation, no hesitation whatsoever. And this declaration has to be made without any suspicion whatsoever regarding its meaning. Where is the evidence? In the Quran. In the Quran, Surah 49, Ayah 15. When I say Surah, you know what that means, right? Anybody doesn't know what the Surah means? Close to a chapter, right? Between only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and His Messenger and never since doubted. وَلَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. They don't have doubt about their belief in Allah. What's all? And the third aspect of this tawheed, the declaration of tawheed, is purity. Purity that negates association. And what is association and what's purity? There are two contradictory in terms of their meaning regarding Islam. To associate in your worship other than Allah, to associate someone besides Allah, you are committing the most grateful, a great sin. The most great sin is to direct the worship in one way or another to other than Allah. And this is what is known as shirk. Association. Purity meaning to devote your heart in your worship to Allah alone. You worship none except Allah. What is the evidence for this? In the Quran, 39:11, Surah 39, Ayah 11. Say, the translation of the meaning, say, O Muhammad, verily, I am commanded to worship Allah alone by doing religious deeds sincerely for Allah's sake. Sincerely for Allah's sake. And not to show off my deeds to others. And not to set up rivals with Allah in worship. You see, in many Muslim countries and many countries that are affected by their cultures and their ways of living and their religions, you see them competing to show off, isn't it? Be given this medal for his activity, right? And this present or this bringing him to a closer rank and such, because you know when he goes out to do this act or these acts, he likes to show off that he or she is doing something really to be commanded on, and it's for a worldly gain. So it's not done purely for the sake of God who has created mankind around it. Fourth condition, honesty. Honesty that negates hypocrisy. The Muslim should say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and he should be liberated from any form of hypocrisy. Nifaq, hypocrisy. He says he's munafiq, meaning what he has uttered on his tongue is different from what is in his heart. Where is this in the Quran? In Surah 48, Ayah 11. The translation of the meaning. They say with their tongues what is not in their heart. You see that? Allah created man and He knows man very well. They say with their tongues what is not in their heart. So honesty is required. When you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, You cannot deceive Allah. You cannot deceive Him to please the Kathir. You cannot deceive Him to stay for a worldly matter. You cannot deceive Him, or I cannot deceive Allah just to have my boss be pleased with me. You say, you see, he is interested to be a good Muslim. Yeah, I show him that. And my deeds are in vain. My deeds are in vain. I may get the pleasure of this man, but I have lost the deed itself. Because to Allah, it's worth nothing. And what counts really is at the end. Because all these things and these pleasures are temporarily, are only for a limited time. You may enjoy a little bit for a limited time, but it will vanish, it will be in vain. So you look for something which is on the long run, something beneficial on the long run. It's acceptance that negates pride and arrogance and disdainfulness. Acceptance. You accept La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah from your heart with no doubt, with purity, with honesty, with knowledge. You accept it, you submit to it, and you adhere to its meaning. Without any pride or envy or imitation to anyone or anything. The truth is the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adherence to this liberates the Muslim from blindly following anyone, including his desire. Including his desire. Allah says in the Quran, in the translation and meaning, and similarly we sent not a warner before you, O Muhammad, to any people, but the luxurious ones among them then said, we found our fathers following a religion, and we will indeed follow their footsteps. And the warner said, that is, say, O Muhammad, to them, even if I brought you better guidance than that which you find your fathers following, they said, their answer would be, this is what we have found our forefathers on. Meaning they had denied the guidance which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had brought them, and they would follow their own temptations and their own imitations. And this negates acceptance, because they did not accept the guidance that came to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the contrary, they followed a blind following of their forefathers. Similarly, this could apply to the person which we have taken as an example when we started talking briefly at the early part of this talk. When we said about this person, he accepted La ilaha illallah, he said so, but he's still in a state of imitation. He didn't drop Jesus as to be worshipped, you know, besides Allah. He didn't drop that, right? He still thinks that he is a savior. Where did he get that feeling? Isn't this because of years of imitation and blind following? The guidance is coming to him. He's taking part of it, but he's still in a shaky ground regarding his tradition, you know, Jesus being the savior, etc. So what did they say? They said, verily, we disbelieve in that which with which you have been sent, meaning to Muhammad. So we took revenge on them and see what was the end of those who denied the truth. This was in Surah 43, Ayah 23 up to 25. So they denied. They disdained. Six, submission that negates rejection. The sixth condition of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah regarding its meaning is submission that negates rejection. Submission and obedience go hand in hand, brothers. Submission and obedience to Allah and His Messenger cannot be separated. It is the safeguard against everything which Allah has forbidden. Submission. If one leaves the submission, then he would fall into the temptation, into everything which Allah has forbade. So he did not submit. What is the evidence? The evidence is the Quran and the saying of Allah in Surah 31, Ayat 22. And inshallah, for those brothers who come here for these talks more and more, we would like to have a notebook with them to take some notes as some of our brothers are taking for next time. And there will be also handouts given to you. And I should tell you, inshallah, this material is written. So by the end of this talk, by the end of this course, inshallah, you will have something completed in terms of what has been taught before or during the session. Allah says in Surah 31, Ayah 22, whoever submits his whole self to submit, submits his whole self to Allah while he is doing good, means that he obeys Allah in all respects. And what's the conclusion? When he has grasped the most trustworthy and whole. He has grasped the most trustworthy and whole. And you know what is the most trustworthy and whole? Is this kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Because it is the road to heaven. It is the road to heaven. And it is the most trustworthy handhold that you dream to put your hand, meaning yourself, your life, everything on it. And now we come to love. And every time I start talking about this issue of love, I try to, you know, bring a little bit of moisture, let's say, to this talk. All of you, or some may not, but most of you, have been taught in one way or another, all have felt this issue of love from Christianity. And that means love Jesus, and, you know, thinking for that in choruses, in churches, and outside, in festivals, in wedding parties, you know, all that. The love for Jesus. And the love to Allah, whether it's for Jesus at his time. For Jesus at his time, it meant one thing. The love for Jesus meant to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus honestly then at his time. Because he didn't bring anything contradictory to what Allah had ordained him to do. You see, imagine Allah being the only God to be worshipped, and he creates mankind and creates prophets and creates them miraculously and creates everything on earth and heaven, and then sends someone to tell some nation to go and worship other than Allah. Could this be fitting to the attributes of Allah? Could it? This contradicts the true attributes of Allah, and it cannot be true. Allah doesn't send messengers to direct people to worship other than Him. Have you imagined this? Many people, when you tell them this thing, they look at you like they have heard this thing for the first time. But really, it opens the heart by the will of Allah. Why? Because for years, we never thought about it. What is religions on earth, you know, so many, and everybody claims to be the true religion. And when you hit him with this question, you think Allah, God, likes to be worshipped alone or not? Most of them, you know, they say yes. But then you say, do you think he would choose from amongst mankind people who will direct his creation to worship some other deity? It just doesn't fall right on him, right? It doesn't fall right. So that would be the beginning of a good thinking process for him, hopefully. The love to this declaration, the love to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, meaning to love Allah and to love His Messenger. And Allah had explained it in Surah 2. What does the love mean? In Surah 2, Ayah 165. And of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love Allah. But those who believe love Allah more than anything else. You see? Others have taken some for worship besides Allah, whether it's a Buddha, whether it's a Khomeini, whether it's a Mao Zedong, whether it's Macarius or Carlos, whether it's Malcolm X, or whether it's you name it, a guru, a Krishna, a Shiva, a cow, a river, and all of them are created. They love them and set them as rivals, despise Allah. But what is the characteristic of the believers? Their characteristic is those who believe love Allah more than anything else. More than anything else. Including themselves, including their parents, including anyone else. And then one time people claimed they love Allah. And Allah answered that. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ Say, if you do indeed love Allah, then follow me, meaning follow Muhammad, and Allah will love. You see? Follow Muhammad's way. His teachings, which are inspired from Allah, came to explain how to worship Allah. Follow them and you will get the love of Allah. You see? So that's the criteria of love in Islam. This meaning of love transcends any kind of love to other than Allah. It obligates it, and it should. No tribe should be beloved more than Allah. No country should be beloved more than Allah. No nothing should be beloved more than Allah. Muhammad Rasulullah is the second part of the declaration of Tawheed. When you utter that, you perhaps were not really knowledgeable about what it really means. What are these people telling me? Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad the Messenger of Allah. It is the belief that Muhammad is the last messenger whom Allah has sent. And the message to him is in the Quran. It is universal. And you believe that Muhammad is the Prophet and the last messenger. And this requires, number one, a condition. First condition. Whatever Allah told us about Muhammad must be true. Could the word of Allah be false? Could the Quran be false? It could. The word of Allah is true, and whatever Allah has told us about Muhammad must be true. This is a condition of Muhammad Rasulullah. Where did we pick up the evidence for this? The evidence for this in Surah 33, verses or ayah 45 and 46. O Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the translation of the meaning, verily, we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of glad tidings and, look at this, and a warner. You know, for those who reject, he's a warner. And as one who invites to Allah, that is to worship Allah alone, by his leave, and a lamp spreading light through your instructions. Say, furthermore, I am a man like yourself. Say to them, I am a man like yourself, but the inspiration has come to me from Allah that your God is one God, Allah. You know, in the matter you have read something in past in Christianity or in the Bibles that exist nowadays on the tongue of Jesus or attributed to Jesus, O Israel, your Lord and my Lord is one. Continuity. So whoever hopes to meet his Lord, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, let him work righteousness and in the worship of his Lord admit no one as a partner. And in the worship of Allah, you admit no one as a partner. Where is this? Quran 18:110. Allah is defining the message of Muhammad, right? This is his message. Say, I am a man like yourself, but the inspiration has come to me from Allah that your Lord is one God, Allah. So whoever hopes to meet his Lord, let him work righteousness, and in the worship of his Lord, admit no one as a partner. That we have sent our inspiration to a man from among themselves. Is it a matter of wonderment to men that we have sent our inspiration to a man from among themselves, saying, warn mankind. sign of the danger and give good news to those who believe, and they shall have before their Lord the reward of their good deeds. Quran 10, 2. Surah 10, ayah 2. Furthermore, I have no power. Look at the definitions of Muhammad Rasulullah. I have no power over any good or harm to myself except by the will of Allah. If I had knowledge of the un, I should have multiplied all good, and no evil should have prospered. I am but a warner and a bringer of glad tidings unto people who believe. Defining the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and telling people that they should not over-exaggerate in him, right? They should not over-exaggerate in him and then take him as a Lord, as the Christians have done to whom? To Jesus. They over-exaggerated in him. And that's what happened. In fact, Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "La tatruni kama atrat al-Nasara 'Isa ibn Maryam." Qalqulu 'Abdullah wa Rasuluhu kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not over exaggerate in him by saying, "Baby, and the Christians have come to Isa, the Jesus son of Mary, only say that I am a slave and a messenger of Allah." Because this is a safeguard against shirk in Muhammad, right? It takes him as a partner to worship him. And his message has been defined. So the condition what Allah said about Muhammad must be true. And Allah has defined the message of Muhammad is, number one, a man, right? If I had known knowledge of the unseen, I should have multiplied all good. Only that he knows what Allah has told him. He's inspired, he doesn't see from his own. And Muhammad is a man who walks the streets of the deen. He's an honored person, an honored prophet, and messenger of Allah. Second condition, Muhammad Rasulullah. That he must worship Allah. Look at this condition. Look at this tremendously important condition. That we must worship Allah as taught by whom? Muhammad Rasulullah. Why do you think this is in the Quran? Let's have some kind of living audience. Why we must worship Muhammad as taught by us, worship Allah? Allah, and taught by Muhammad. Somebody? You know, yes, sir. Gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forgives you, of saving somebody and fear Allah, when they Allah is giving him a punishment. That's what he says in the translation of the meaning, he who obeys the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has indeed obeyed Allah. So Allah made the obedience to him conditional upon the obedience to whom? To Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was in the Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 8. Let us explain whatever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatever the forbids you from abstain from it, etc. The meaning of this ayah is well illustrated in the following narration. Interesting. Narrated Alqama, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad said, Allah cursed those ladies who practice tattooing and those who get themselves tattooed, and those who remove the hair from their faces, and those who make artificial spaces between their teeth in order to look more beautiful, whereby they change Allah's creation. Who said that? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That Allah curses those ladies who do all these practices, who tattoo themselves, who remove the hair from their faces, and who make artificial spaces between their teeth so that they look beautiful, huh? You see many of these ladies nowadays, right? Widespread. But the same is a lady from Bani Asad, a wife. Her name called Umm Ya'qub, the mother of Ya'qub, who came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, I have come to know that you have cursed such and such lady. He replied, why shouldn't I curse the ladies whom Allah's Messenger cursed and who are cursed in Allah's book? Why I shouldn't curse those or these whom Allah's Messenger cursed and who are cursed in Allah's book? And Ya'qub said, I have read the whole Quran and I have not found any what you say. He said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, verily, you have read it in the Quran, you have found it. You need to read the ayah, and whatsoever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it and fear Allah. She replied, yes, I did. He said, verily, Allah's Messenger forbade these things. He said, but I see your wife doing these things. He said, go and wash her. She went and washed her, but could not see anything in support of her statement. On that he said, Allah knows, if my wife were as you thought, I would not keep her in my home. Have you understood this, Mary? You understood this? Look at the smartness of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This tattooing and the curse is not written in the Quran, it's not in the Quran, right? But he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah cursing this woman, right? And then when we hear Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursing them, then we look into the ayah in the Quran which says, and whatsoever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it, right? So that must be in the Quran. Because it falls under this ayah, right? You see, brothers, the critical meaning of Muhammad Rasulullah. And by the way, this narration is available in Sahih al-Bukhari. Okay. Now, so often you hear the word sunnah. What is the sunnah? Don't be overwhelmed, because it is very easy to know, and you shouldn't really take it as a complicated. The matter is discussing worship of Allah, discipline, order, advice, and recommendations as detailed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are known as sunnah. Are known as sunnah. And sunnah means the way. Way. And the sunnah, you think he brought it from himself? Did Muhammad bring sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the sunnah from himself? Yeah, who said the worship? Yeah. The sunnah is an inspiration from Allah and is not the Prophet's idea, thought, or desire. Where is the evidence? Why is that done? The evidence is in the Quran, in Surah 53, Ayah 3 and 4. The translation of the meaning, nor but he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speak of his own desire. There is no less than an inspiration sent down to him. Look, it is no less. See? It is no less than an inspiration sent down to him. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even explained by saying that I have been given the Quran wa mithlahu ma'a, and something similar to it. And that is the Sunnah. So in obeying the Sunnah, in obeying the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are obeying Allah. They like to interrupt us. So in obeying the Prophet's Sunnah, the spirit, the person is obeying Allah. But there should be no resistance to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because anybody who is disobeying the Prophet is disobeying Allah. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be taken as a judge in all disputes, as Allah has explained. Look at this. Beautiful ayah in the Quran. But no, by your Lord, they can have no faith. They can have no faith in Muslims. They can have no faith until they make you, until they make you judge in all disputes between them. Until they make you, whom will you? To whom you refer? To Muhammad, Allah said. Until they make you as a judge between them and find in their souls no resistance against your decision, but accept them fully with submission. If they don't fulfill that, then by their Lord they can have what? No? No faith. So the faith is conditioned as taking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by taking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a judge in all matters of disputes between us. This is in Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 65. And then another explanation. The translation of the meaning of this ayah in the Quran goes as follows. Let those beware who oppose the messenger's tradition among the sect, beware. Let some trial befall them which will lead them to disbelief or a grievous torment be inflicted on them. A warning that those who will not obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are subjected to trials which will lead them to cope with disbelief. This is in the Quran, in Surah 24, Ayah 63. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a translation of this saying is, he who does an act which our religion is not in agreement with will have it rejected. That's what Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Any person who does an act which our matter, meaning our religion, is not in agreement with it, will have it rejected. He cannot come and have a matter that his father had made and said, hey, this is the way we're going to worship Allah, according to my father's will. Huh? No. We worship Allah according to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's will. Allah has safeguarded the Sunnah and promised to save the message of Islam from any human corruption. Allah says in the translation of the meaning, say, if you do love Allah, follow me, Muhammad. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. For Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. This is in the Quran, in Surah 3, Ayah 31. So what is the duty of the Muslim? The duty of the Muslim is to follow the Book of Allah, which is the Quran. And the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a question. Those who were around Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions, don't you think they were the ones who really understood the Sunnah better than anybody else? Those who were living next to him, close to him, the companions? So they understood Islam better than any generation, right? That's why Muhammad said that the best of generations is my generation, the next generation, and the next generation. He named three successive generations And the first of them is the first, and then the second and the third. Because they were called for the message, they took the purity of the message, and they understood the meaning of the Quran purely from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth, and they adhered fully to the best of their ability to Islam. So they are the ones whom we say we should take their approach in understanding the Quran and in understanding the Quran. And that's the approach of the companions. Those are the Muslims. They are known as As-Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors. As-Salaf al-Salih, they did just that. They took the Quran, they did not inject their own opinions into the Quran. This is Allah's word. I think this ayah means this way or means that way. When Muhammad had explained, all of the companions around him took it and understood it in the way which is right. And no one could come as a philosopher thousands of years later and say, oh, maybe it could mean that, maybe it could mean that. No. Those are the Muslims when they understood Islam and it's pure and mild way, and in the way I'm sorry that was given to them by Muhammad Ta'ala, saying they ruled many areas and many countries by justice. By justice. We were very successful. And we cannot be successful again, except by taking the good steps and putting the three rules here. Quran, Sunnah, and the understanding of these two sources by As-Salaf al-Qalih, by the righteous predecessors, who explained to us what Allah had given them through the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their understanding of Islam is the best. We should follow their way in order to have the correct understanding of our worship of Allah and thus our salvation. And in the last minute that I have, I should tell you, this is a brief summary that I gave you of the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I want you to attend and continue to attend these lectures so that you don't miss what we will talk about next time. We are going to start another subject this time on the road of our understanding of Tafsir. And this program for this part of the year, the year of Tafsir course, is called Tafsir Part 1. And those who will succeed in this course, inshallah, will be taken together to Tafsir Part 2, advanced level of understanding of Tafsir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance and understanding how to worship Him, love Him, and love His Messenger by following them, and to accept our fasting and our deeds. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the meaning of the Quran and taught his teaching to some around him, to those companions around him. And they understood the right meaning of the Quran and the right meaning of the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are the ones who we refer to in terms of our understanding of this deed. And at their time, mistakes were much more much less than at times that come later. You see, in our time, people are far from the times of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were attached very much, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive among them, giving them things right away, revelation right away, explaining this to them. And then telling after that, before he died, recommended that the nation after him, those who will become Muslims later, he recommended and ordered strongly that they follow the path of those who were before. He said, "Alaykum bi sunnati, take my way and the way of the rightly guided rulers after me, Al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, the Khalif. Fight on it, halt it, like in Nawazis here, because your team, halt it, strongly firm." Then he warned that this nation will divide as the Christians and Jews did divide. But then he put the safeguard, because Allah will not leave the nation go into division
without giving them the true path to adhere to. الصراط المستقيم, the right path. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that this nation will divide into groups. 72 or 3 groups, like Christians and Jews before. But there will be one group which will be saved from the fire of hell. And then when he was asked about that, he defined this characteristics of this group. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِ. The one that I hold to now and held by my companion, by my companion. So anyone who takes by the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the understanding of the teaching, through the understanding of the companion, then he will be among those, inshallah, of the same group. And this is really very, very, very critical, because it defines the way very purely for the Muslims. And the evidence is really clear at the time of those early companions. Muslims have reached a great deal of strength in faith and in physical ability to rule and in the spread of Islam. The nation was strong. One of the great scholars of Islam, his name is Imam Malik, has said a famous saying. He said that the latter part of this nation will not become good until it takes by the way which made its early part good. Until it follows the way it was taken by its early part, meaning those companions and those who follow their path. And those who follow their path up to the day of judgment, they will be the righteous. Take it on a single level. The person who clears himself from any philosophy, from any ways that are not in accordance with the way of the Quran and the way of the Sunnah as understood by the companions, then he will become a better person. Then he will affect his family. He will affect his friends and those around him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَى آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. قُلْ أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَكُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ. سورة الزخرف, it is Surah 43, Ayah 23 to 25. Listen carefully to this ayah. And similarly, we sent not a warner before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to any people, but the luxurious ones among them said, we found our fathers following their religion, and we indeed follow their footsteps. Invitation, huh? And the warner said, that is, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, even if I brought you better guidance than that which you find your fathers following, he said, verily, we disbelieve in that in which you have been sent. So we took revenge on them and see what was the end of those who denied the truth. Allah is all just. He sent messages. He sent warnings. And he doesn't want people to accept ways of their forefathers that has nothing to do with Islam, with the faith of Allah. Putting their forefathers and this invitation as a judge on the better guidance which is coming to them from Allah, and disdain and reject. See? That is what is against the declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. First you find somebody, first a blind imitator of this or that, then you must remind him in a good way even if it is a gradual way, but just take your course, and reminding him that we can't be imitators. We have to follow the guidance. The guidance supersedes, takes over any form of imitation to anyone or to anything except to this guidance.